My name is Michael McCusker. As you probably all know, this is the beginning of the silly season this weekend, otherwise known as Memorial Day. Quite often, Memorial Day itself is, its purposes are forgotten in the fun that is being used and or being done. And it's obscured by all of the sales of automobiles and clothing and all that sort. But we have people killing and dying at this moment in wars, at least one which is declared over, but so far isn't, another that we're supposed to be withdrawing from soon, but haven't, and one we are threatening over possible nukes. So I have three guests this morning, and they are from the Vets for Peace. And I would like to read something about them before I introduce them. They are from the North Coast Chapter 164 of Veterans for Peace, which was founded in 1985 by 10 U.S. veterans in response to the global nuclear arms race and U.S. military interventions in Central America. It grew to more than 8,000 members in the buildup to the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, with veteran and associate members in every U.S. state and several countries, with more than 120 chapters across the nation. In the last 26 years, Veterans for Peace has led or participated in over 50 peace delegations to Latin America, Europe, the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. We have collaborated with dozens of organizations and sponsored thousands of activities promoting peace in this country. Veterans for Peace initiated the very successful weekly Arlington West Memorial at the Santa Monica Pier. Similar public displays to honor those killed in war have been replicated across the country. Veterans for Peace has sponsored over a dozen major projects to heal the wounds of war, among them the Iraq Water Project, 11 years, and Children of War Rescue Project, which met the medical needs of more than 100 children during the Bosnian conflict. Veterans for Peace holds a permanent non-governmental organization seat at the United Nations. It is also the first military veterans organization invited to be a member of the International Peace Bureau, based in Geneva, Switzerland. Today, members remain actively engaged in campaigns to help bring about a clearer understanding of the cost of war, in particular U.S. occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan, to bring clean water to Iraq, to support veterans of the Iraq War, to close the School of the Americas, and to counter military recruitment efforts in schools. Now I'd like the three to introduce themselves.
Yes, I'm Brian McMahon, and I'm the president of Chapter 164.
And where are you from, Brian?
I'm from Manzanita.
George. Hi, my name's George Reddish. I'm a member of Chapter 164. I live in Manzanita also.
I'm Patrick Temple. I'm from Bay City.
Well, you have something you want to read, Brian, so.
Yes, I'd like to read the mission statement for the Veterans for Peace, and it goes like this. We have dutifully served our nation, do hereby affirm our greater responsibility to serve the cause of world peace. To this end, we will work with others toward increasing public awareness of the cost of war, to restrain our government from intervening overtly and covertly in the internal affairs of other nations, to end the arms race and to reduce and eventually eliminate nuclear weapons, to seek justice for veterans and victims of war, to abolish war as an instrument of national policy. To achieve these goals, members of Veterans for Peace pledge to use nonviolent means and to maintain an organization that is both democratic and open, with the understanding that all members are trusted to act in the best interest of the group for the larger purpose of world peace. We urge all people who share this vision to join us.
Well, what service were you in, Brian?
I was in the U.S. Army from 1968 to 1971, and I served in Vietnam.
And you, what was your reason for, instigating and becoming a member of Veterans for Peace?
I was a vet for peace person in Minnesota, and I came out to Oregon, moved out here, and the only chapter was in Portland. And I was watching a documentary with the Veterans for Peace when they were in Washington, D.C., and as they were going down the line, Daniel Ellsberg was standing in the line. So it kind of made me feel like I should form our own chapter out here in the North Coast. And with the help of the founding members, George Reddish, Pat Temple, and eight other people, we started a chapter of our own, and we have meetings every first Thursday of every month, and now they've been down in Nehalem.
And George, what service were you in?
I was in the Army from August 1966 to August 1970. After the Army, I was a high school social studies teacher, and the reason I joined Veterans for Peace is that I think we should spend more money on public education and less money on the Pentagon.
And Pat?
I was in the Army from 67 until 69. I served in Vietnam, and I joined Veterans for Peace because I've been loosely active in anti-war demonstrations since I got back from Vietnam, and particularly when the Iraq invasion was impending, definitely against that. But I found a place where I think I could express myself and use what experience I'd had from being in a war would do some good.
Now, George, you were in, all of you were, well, all of us are Vietnam vets, I guess, and except I'm the only Marine in the bunch, I guess, the Naval Service. What generally are you doing now? Any of you can speak up to how you think.
Well, several of the things we've done is Veterans for Peace has not been exactly welcomed in 4th of July parades. So we are the first group that got accepted into a parade down in Manzanita for the 4th of July. And George drove the truck. We got an enthusiastic ovation. People, and we only got one, and we were throwing candy out, and we only got one bad. Some person gave me a sign, and so being a peaceful person, I only threw a piece of candy at him.
Got the single-digit salute, didn't you?
That's right. So, and the other things that we've done, we're trying to introduce ourselves to the community by going to the Rotary Club, the Lions, telling people what the Vets for Peace stand for. We're also trying to get into the high schools. And so we've sent out letters to each of these organizations trying to set up a time so that we can appear. Another thing we've done is the International Peace Day down in Tillamook. We've formed an alliance with the Women's Center and the Tillamook County Citizens for Human Dignity to be represented down at the courthouse down in Tillamook. And we're also occupied, we're also in with the Occupy movement. And I'll let the other guys talk about what else we're doing.
George?
Well, we haven't done much more than what Brian just spoke about, but we're trying to get the community aware and trying to become political in that we need to move our country to spend a lot less money on our military buildup and more money on internal improvements in our country.
Now, you are a social studies teacher.
Retired.
Retired.
Yeah.
Now, how has your response been by the schools?
Well, we've written letters to both the community college and to the local high school. We have not received a reply.
And have you talked with teachers or tried to set up symposiums with kids?
No, we haven't.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Brian? Or I'm sorry, Patrick.
Brian's over here.
I've also been a teacher. I taught in juvenile corrections for 20 years, and I think the advantage there was being able to talk to these young men and tell them what war was like, the destruction, the inhumanity, and how that just reverberates. Personally, it does, of course, for years. You just don't really forget it or get. You get through it, but you don't get over it. And then the things that we have done, the waste, the destruction, and things like that along the way. I don't, I don't feel terribly guilty. It was just part of the policy that, you know, I went through and drafted, and I went, and that was that. But just to talk to these young men and say, no, it's all not all glory. You can watch all the movies you want, but there's a lot more that happens and a lot more that you need to be aware of as far as going off into the military.
I remember when I was young that young men who were up for jail were given sometimes a choice to go into the service, especially during the Vietnam War in that period. I especially remember young black men from Watts who, after the insurrection, were given a choice of the Marine Corps or jail, and I served in 66 with them in I Corps up in Vietnam with the Corps. I also, they have been, let's say, lessening their standards because they're trying to fill billets in these latest couple of wars, and I wonder if they've been trying to coerce juvenile, you know, D's, JD's, to choose the Army rather than go to jail.
As far as before the court system, I don't really know what the young men are offered like that. They depend on the crime and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's still possible to go into the military. And we were talking about that on the way up. If you get out of high school and these things aren't looking too good, maybe you don't have enough money to go to college, maybe that's not an option. What can you do? Well, the military on the surface looks pretty good. You know, the pay is not too bad now compared to what when we were in. And, you know, you get to travel and you're pretty well taken care of. What we used to say, three hots and a cot. So I can see the it'd be fairly easy. I mean, it's almost pay you to go in right now. But once you're there, there's a lot more to it. And I think, you know, I mean, all four of us know that it goes a lot more deeper than that, and it reverberates. And I have a nephew that just came home from Afghanistan, and I'm proud of him. He did good work. He's an engineer, and they're trying to clear the roads so people could get things to market and so on and so forth in Afghanistan, try to build up their economy. But I'd rather him do it as a civilian. I mean, I'm all for helping people all over the world, but I don't think the military is the best vehicle we have for that.
The situation has changed too. It used to be that it was it's an all volunteer army now. So the options for the people out on the street, especially in today's economy, Pat said, that this is a good option for them because they do get, you know, a fairly good salary, plus they get everything paid for, and in some cases it's the only option. And so the fact that and then the Army can be more specific, so they don't have to take people who are, you know, out committing crimes or, you know, have a situation like that.
Yeah, there was a certain period during the Iraq War where they were really scrambling for numbers, and they did really drop a lot of standards they had, and they again didn't have the draft. And I've been thinking about they get paid pretty well, even though the economy itself, the inflation and the costs are tripled what we had to pay when we were in so many years ago. But, you know, when they get out, people have been known to have to pay for their own medical care after they're out of service and they've been wounded, and of course brain injuries were shuttled away for a long time and they're still reluctantly being applied to. Have you, as a group, contacted or been contacted by a lot of these young guys and women coming back? Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that we're relatively new chapter, so. I'm sure that those people are out there, but we haven't actually had contact with them yet. And that's one of the things that we want to do is become more involved with veterans returning with serious problems and try to give them advice on where to go to solve those problems and what to do in that case.
Yeah. My contact has just been random. Somebody know somebody, they say, well, why don't you go talk to this guy over here and blah, blah. But, I've not seen anything really in this area. put together to provide, if nothing else, an information service, because a lot of these folks don't really know where to go or how to go. Now, I guess you know Ken Rislow. He's the veterans officer, you might say, in Tillamook. Are you guys familiar with him at all?
Yes, he's new down there, I believe. He just he replaced somebody, and it's funny you should say that, because we are actually going to become involved more with him as far as starting veterans out in farming. I'm also the chairman of the food group, Food Roots, down in Tillamook, and we're very concerned about the veteran, and we have programs where they can start up farms, and we'll give them grants and get them get them involved. They take classes on business, that's one of the things that we're doing with the veteran service officer down in Tillamook.
Good. I recommend Rislow. He's first class.
Yes.
How about Chuck McLaughlin? We were talking about him earlier. You know, he used to be a programmer on this station many years ago, had a very popular program, and you said he had back injury. But he is a member of your group.
He's a founding member of our group. He's very. In fact, he's the one who set up this interview.
Yes, he did.
And he did have a back operation. He unfortunately couldn't make it because he can't ride in a car for a long time. Incidentally, that reminds me, I'd just like to make a plug for a program, a musical that we're doing down in Nehalem. It's called Nehalem Treasure, and it's Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and there's some Vets for Peace in it. And actually the director and the musical director came up here and interviewed here last Friday, I think it was. So, but get back to Chuck McLaughlin. He's really been instrumental in Veterans for Peace, and he's, like I said, he's one of the founding members.
Now, George, you haven't been saying much.
Well, there are. Both Tillamook and Clackamas County have veteran service officers. What veterans face is when they go to the VA, it's a mountain of paperwork, and these veteran service officers can help smooth that. And Veterans for Peace can also help you if you are indeed a veteran and you want to apply for veterans benefits. You should seek out a veteran who has applied, and they can help smooth the way for you. What I think you will find is once you get past the beginning stage, all the bureaucracy, and get into the veteran system, you'll find first-class service by the Veterans Administration. Personally, I'm received benefits from the VA. And that's the problem, is getting the applications, and sometimes you need help with the applications, and you can find the American Legion, the VFW, they all have veteran service officers that will help you with this process. And once you get past the initial process or get the paperwork filed, you'll find that the VA folks are very, very helpful in helping you.
We do advocate for returning veterans and for veterans that along the way, definitely there we're on your side. Moreover, though, I think we'd like to join with other peace activists around the North Coast and see if we can put something together to put more pressure on our government to wage peace, as some of the old buttons used to say. That's an important thing, is it? Not just what Bobby Kennedy, I think, said, peace is not merely the absence of war. And that's pretty much what we're about. You don't have to be a veteran to join us, to join Veterans for Peace. We welcome all kinds of people, and quite a few of our members are not actually veterans. We would like to invite more people in, and we'd like to establish relationships with other people that advocate for peace and try to put a little pressure on our government, was just listening to Michael Moore the other day, and he brought this out. We spend over nearly, on the next budget coming up for 2013, almost $1 trillion on national security budget for this country. That's while we're while at the same time we're cutting school lunch programs, health care, Social Security, and things like that. This is not right. No country spends like that. And we need to put the country back on the track towards peace and working for all Americans and working for people throughout the world as far as we can.
This is not an easy thing to do. The real patriots are the patriots for peace. We were talking about this on the way up, too, was how the whistleblower has turned into the criminal, and the person that gets the whistle blown on is the victim. Bradley Manning is a perfect example of this. He showed the abuse of war, and what does he get for showing that abuse is that he gets thrown into jail and gets prosecuted by the military. This is not right, and this is what our country has turned into, and this has to be turned around.
Yeah, I've noticed that all the press media is taking a look at the John Edwards trial but paying no attention to Phillips's trial. And he was held incognito for damn near a year, and he says that he was pretty badly treated. And
that's not right. We have habeas corpus, but it was just completely ignored. It's kind of like what we have down in Guantanamo. Why are we doing that?
That's a very good question. I really like the distinction that you are making between war and peace, that they are, in many instances, one is just a boil, and the other one is perhaps the only way in which we can get into the future and survive. You have any thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, that's why we're the Veterans for Peace. It's a positive spin rather than veterans against something. And actually, we are against all wars. We're against the war on education. We're against the war on Social Security. We're against the war on Medicare. These are the things that need to be boosted up, and not our government. Now, I mean, when I say government, I don't mean the people that work for the government. I mean the politicians. The politicians and the people in power. This Occupy movement has really done something and is really moving the country in the right direction. And it's the first time in my lifetime that I've seen something as positive as Veterans for Peace and the Occupy movement happening.
Now, there's a lot of criticisms about Occupy, that it doesn't have a central leader, it doesn't have a central program, that it is probably a spontaneity has been highly criticized. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's what's good about the Occupy movement. It doesn't have the participation of the politicians or some leader out there that, and when you have leaders, then the powers that be can cut off the head of that snake, because the leaders are the ones that they're going to go after. So if it's hard to find the leader, it's hard to stop the movement, in my opinion.
Yeah, it reminds me of I Am Spartacus. I read that in an article recently about Occupy and where it's going, and because it doesn't have a central leader, all can claim I Am Spartacus, so that it confuses the people trying to cut the head off the snake.
Right.
You know, I'd like to read something that it's a quote from John Fowles of the Magus. And it's from his book, The Magus, and it's one of his main character. Conkus says, "Because these events could have taken place only in a world where a man considers himself superior to women, in what Americans call a man's world, that is, a world governed by brute force, humorless arrogance, illusory prestige, and primeval stupidity. Men love war because it allows them to look serious, because it is the one thing that stops women laughing at them. In it, they can reduce women to the status of objects. That is the great distinction between the sexes. Men see objects. Women see the relationship between objects, whether the objects need each other, love each other, match each other. It is an extra dimension of feeling that we men are without, and one that makes war abhorrent to all real women and absurd. I will tell you what war is. War is a psychosis caused by an inability to see relationships. Our relationship with our fellow men, our relationship with our economic and historical situation, and above all, our relationship to nothingness, to death. I think that could be a preamble to a great many different movements.
Very moving.
Yeah, he has written, actually during the time when we were in service, back in the 60s, a book he wrote.
I'd like to mention that also that, and I thought Pat was going to bring this up, but we're also going to be involved in the blessing of the fleet down in
Garibaldi,
and that's on Saturday around 1 o'clock, I believe. The last time that this happened, the Veterans for Peace were banned from being there, but this time I guess we're being welcomed with open arms, so it's a good positive sign.
Possibly you might have some members who are fisher people.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. I used to fish tuna once upon a time. Well, we're starting to get close to wrapping it up. I'd like your thoughts on, as we brought up earlier, Memorial Day, and what you think Memorial Day ought to represent and how it should be commemorated.
I look at Memorial Day and think never again, or I hope never again. And I honor those veterans that I have cousins and definitely from Vietnam, friends, maybe possibly, but I don't want grandchildren having to suffer the same thing. Those things happened. It was the best we could do. I went to war out of ignorance, I'm sorry to say. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have gone. But that was then and this is now. All we can do is honor the dead, heal the wounded, and proceed and make a world for our children.
George, how do you feel?
Well, I'm a big believer in celebrating, or not really celebrating, but respecting and cherishing those who went before us and those who didn't come back. We have a big debt to pay, and we should memorialize our veterans and our wounded veterans and respect them and try to help them as much as we can.
And Brian?
Well, it's appropriate that we're doing this show just before Memorial Day. Thank you, Mike, for having us on. And I've been out to Arlington West where they have the... it's in Santa Monica, I believe. And they have all the crosses up for everyone who was killed in Iraq during the Iraq War. And then they have, you know, like when Saddam was taken out of power, then they have various timelines showing how many were killed at that time when how many were killed. And it's very moving. And it's a Memorial Day sign that they do have this Arlington West. So I feel the same as George and Pat that we need to cease all wars. War, in my opinion, has never done any good. And we need to bring peace to every country in this world.
I agree. I'd like to close this with something that you spoke of, a monument to Arlington West. The monument to the Vietnam War in Washington, D.C. is what a war memorial should be, a measure of its cost. The wall of names of Americans killed in Vietnam is a tribute to them from those who fought beside them and survived. And I think a second wall should be set alongside, containing the names of all Viet Cong and North Vietnamese soldiers who died in the war, and both walls surrounded by a wall listing the names of every Vietnamese, Cambodian, and Laotian, man, woman, and child, who were not combatants but were killed because they were in the water the killer fish swam in, to paraphrase Mao's famous metaphor, that the people were the sea to be fought over. Perhaps a special monument might be erected with the names of the murdered dead of My Lai by Americans and Wei by North Vietnamese, or Haditha by Marines, U.S. Marines, in Iraq to serve as a warning that the only enemy is the malevolence we human beings feel toward each other. I thank you all. And that was something I wrote, so that's my opinion only in the cosmos, perhaps, as I generally do this program with. I thank all three of you, Brian, George, and Pat, for coming.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And can you tell, before we quit, when your meetings are?
Our meetings are on the first Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock, and right now we're holding them down at the NCRD in Nehalem, and that's the North Coast Recreational District, and that's it.
You've been listening to A Story Told. I'm Michael McCusker.